Breaking news today on Jay Sekulow Live. As election challenges head to court, we've got live updates with the president's legal team from Washington, D.C.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Go right to Washington, D.C. in just a minute. My dad is there, Jay Sekulow, chief counsel of the ACLJ, and also a leader of the President Trump's legal team. Just to go through you real quickly, what has already been filed by the president's legal team or by state Republican parties, the RNC, or the Trump campaign? We've got filings out of Michigan, Pennsylvania. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 filings in Pennsylvania, also in Georgia and in Arizona. More to come also in Michigan out of Wayne County. And then this is just the beginning. Dad, I wanted you to speak to this. One, to update people about what happened out of the Supreme Court, because that happened on Friday evening. And two, that for all the wildness that last week, all the allegations that were flying around, as attorneys, what you do is you take a look at all of that, and now you start putting together the actual legal actions that will be filed in court. And we have plenty of time to do it. I mean, it is a expedited time period, but there is time here, and people don't need to feel like they're on pins and needles every moment right now.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, of course, I understand the anxiety and the frustration, but these are not going to be decisions that come down in the next 2 or 3 days that are going to end this, or one way or another, or overturn this. What you have right now, first of all, the electors have not met, the Electoral College has not met, so all of these controversies that you're seeing are what we call live controversies. Now, on Friday, we went to the Supreme Court and asked the court to issue a directive, basically, an order, saying you've got to segregate these ballots in Pennsylvania. That's a have to. And number two, and equally important, you have to make sure that those votes, although counted, these ballots that came in late, are not added to the general totals. So far, I will say, so far, the order has stayed in place. Justice Alito issued it. Now, it has been referred to the entire court. So the question will be what the entire court does with this in the days ahead. But this was a very important and very significant first step in the legal process. It's not the end of the legal process. And Andy Economo's here with me. It's the very beginning of the Supreme Court side of this.
That's right. The reason that it went to Justice Alito, for those of you who don't know, is because he is the circuit justice that handles matters that come out of the Third Circuit. Pennsylvania is in the Third Circuit, United States Court of Appeals. So requests for emergency action, for administrative stays, go to the circuit justice, and therefore it went to Justice Alito. Justice Alito ordered the segregation of the ballots. That was an important first step, a critical first step, because it sets the groundwork for the future litigation.
It's the step if you don't get, you're pretty much in real trouble. So, look, I'm my responsibility here, and this is very important for our ACLJ members that are concerned about the Constitution. So my responsibility here is, as cases are going to be brought around the country and as they look like they may be coming up here, my job is, both as the ACLJ, is to make sure the constitutional mandates are filed. We did that in Bush versus Gore, too. That's not a partisan issue. It's what does the Constitution say about this, the way the votes are being tabulated, irregularities that may have taken place. And then secondly, as the President's counsel, just want to make sure everything's done in an orderly process. Now, there are going to be, Jordan, additional lawsuits filed in the next, you know, several days. I mean, it could be the end of the week for some of them. You were right about saying it's not going to happen overnight.
No, that's right. I mean, we're looking at potentially, for instance, just in the recounts, there will be lawsuits that come out of the recounts in Arizona and Georgia and Nevada and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. You've got Doug Collins, a congressman. He's leading the recount effort for the Trump campaign and the Republican Party in Georgia. But out of those recounts, oftentimes come legal challenges as well. So this is really, last week was the flurry of the information of the what was going on here. Was this wrong here? Was this bad here? The voting machine's wrong here. Taking that all in now as attorneys and putting it into actual legal challenges with evidence. And I think people like Mitt Romney and others, they got way too ahead of themselves. They're lawyers. They should have known better. Wait till we actually file in court, then look at the evidence and decide. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. I encourage you, share this with your friends and family. A lot of people are watching. Almost 20,000 people are watching this broadcast just on Facebook right now. We're also on YouTube, Periscope, and Parler. And Parler is growing, folks. So if you are someone who is moving to Parler with social media, it's like a Twitter kind of platform. I want you to know we're already there, at Jordan Sekulow and at Jay Sekulow, and we put the live show up there as well. So if you're kind of migrating towards Parler, we encourage you to follow us there, and we're putting the same content there as we do on other social media platforms, similar kind of to Twitter, I would say. So again, at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow. We've been active on Parler since it launched, but it is growing exponentially. So wanted to let you know that. And Dad, we pulled together.
I got some breaking news right now.
Okay, let's go to the breaking news.
All right, so I just got word, because I'm counsel of record for the Trump campaign in the cases involving the challenges thus far in Pennsylvania as it relates to those the change of the end date of the ballots being accepted. And the state of Missouri's Solicitor General has just notified us, pursuant to Rule 37-2 of the Supreme Court Rules of Practice, Missouri provides notice that it intends to file an amicus brief supporting the petitions for certiorari in the above-captioned case. Several other states represented by their attorneys general will join in this brief as well. This means that we are now seeing states coming on to the case saying, now, wait a minute, because they've got a real outcome determination here, too. This is something we talked about briefly, and this is a good time to share this with your friends, because I'm about to give you some analysis I don't think you're going to get anywhere else. So these other states are impacted by what happens in Pennsylvania. If there is, in fact, things that have happened in Pennsylvania that are not appropriate, that are illegal, violate the law, the electors of these other states, Andy, end up having their votes basically depressed.
That's right. There's a dilution of the vote if there's not equality of treatment of electors and how they're selected in all the jurisdictions. And therefore, as you just said, in Missouri and other attorneys general from other states are saying, look, what is happening in Pennsylvania affects our electors in our states and our choice of who the president of the United States is ultimately going to be, Supreme Court of the United States. So we want you to hear these challenges, and we have a stake in the outcome. Is that right, Jay? We have a stake in the outcome, and therefore we want to be heard also on the elections, how they proceeded, how they were conducted, how they were not conducted properly, these mail-in ballots, the counting of the ballots, and the issues of fraud. Now, all the states, I hope, many of the states, through their AGs, are going to weigh in on this. I think that's a very important development.
Well, getting the states involved, Jordan, shows the depth and scope and nature. I'm looking at my phone because other information is coming in. The depth and scope of nature of what could be taking. I say I want to caveat that because I mean, what could be taking place at the Supreme Court. Look, the ultimate determination of this, I do not believe, is going to be made by the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania, the Supreme Court of New Mexico, or Arizona, actually, or the Supreme Court of Wisconsin or Michigan. I think the ultimate determinations are going to be here at the Supreme Court of the United States. I think that's the end result of where this goes. But things have to line up, Jordan, to get there, as you know.
That's right. So a lot of people have been asking, so Pennsylvania's gotten a lot of focus right now, but there will have to be then focus on what's happening in Georgia with, again, Doug Collins leading the recount. Oftentimes, out of those recounts, there are legal challenges throughout those. Some could be significant, especially with such a small margin in Georgia. They also look to places like Wisconsin. They look to places like Nevada and Arizona, because we know that even if the Supreme Court were to, if you flipped it to President Trump, that's not enough for him to stay in the White House to get to 270. So there have to be other legal challenges. And, Dad, we expect those. Some have already been filed. I know in Michigan, in Wayne County, there was one filed this morning already. That people needed to give last week the legal teams the time to take in all of these allegations that were just flowing in. I mean, we had thousands of them just to the ACLJ to figure out which ones were legitimate and could build enough evidence to then take into court. And that's at what point we are at right now, Dad. Like, I think it needs to be underscored again to our viewers. And I know a lot of our viewers hope the outcome of what has been called in this election is changed by the courts, is that we are just beginning to see those actions outside of just Pennsylvania that will be necessary as well.
Yeah, and I need to tell everybody that this is not a simple task. This is a tall order.
Yes.
I mean, it's a bit of a miracle to be able to not a bit of a miracle, be a miracle in one sense, because everything has to line up. But you don't stop fighting until there's a point where if the courts rule against you, that's it. We respect the rule of law. I mean, that's how this has to be. But I don't think anybody's seriously questioning, other than Joe Biden's people, and even they're cautiously saying this, that the president does not have the right. If there's an automatic recount, for instance, in Georgia, of course you have to go through that. Same thing, I think, in Michigan. I'm not sure on the Michigan numbers if they're there to make it, excuse me, mandatory, but I think you have to be realistic that this is, like we just said, with the Supreme Court action on just taking place on Friday, which seems like 100 years ago right now, the reality is that this is the very beginning of this, way in the beginning.
Yes, and I mean, we're talking about, I kept trying to say, I was on Newsmax this morning, a lot of people tuning into Newsmax now, and I'll be back on Newsmax tomorrow with Sean Spicer and his broadcast, and I know a lot of people who are making the change to Newsmax to get the most up-to-date information about what's really going on, and I was honest about that. I said the same thing. This is just beginning. It all has to add up. It all has to line up. But let me just kind of explain to people why we fight. One is for election integrity. I mean, that's part of the ACLJ's goals, constitutional election integrity. We don't want this. This should not be the norm in our election processes where right. We still don't have the votes counted yet in a lot of states. It doesn't feel like we have a clear winner, and half the country is not up. It's tough for them to accept it because there's all these legitimate legal challenges. There's recounts and things like that because they rushed in mail-in batting. I still believe the big steal from this election, regardless of how the outcome of these legal challenges, the big steal and what we have to look for in the future, the big steal was the mail-in ballot issue.
No question.
And so we go one by one to look at whether there was fraud, whether there was abuse, whether there was backdating and things like that with the mail-in ballots. That's what's happening in the courts right now. But, Dad, I want to remind people why we fight. This is Joe Biden's early executive actions that have been announced. First, he's going to terminate the ban against travel to the U.S. from those Muslim-majority countries that President Trump said pose a national security threat to our country. Notice, since that ban went into effect and was the Supreme Court said was constitutional. There have been no terrorist attacks from Muslim extremists in our country. There have been throughout Western Europe, including the last couple of weeks in France. So he wants to get rid of that. He wants to just rejoin NATO, doesn't care that they're not paying their fair share, and of course rejoin the China-controlled World Health Organization. But it gets worse. A national mask mandate. He wants to take it away from your local community or your state or your school district, which, by the way, most of them have those mandates in place when you go to the local level. No, he wants to nationalize it, and he's going to extend the public health emergency. That likely means more government shutdowns at a national level, but it gets even worse than if you care about life. He is immediately going to reverse President Trump's action on abortion and reproductive health, including reversing the Mexico City policy, which means we'll start funding overseas international abortions again with our federal taxpayer dollars, and restore additional funding to Planned Parenthood and more coverage under the Affordable Care Act. That is why we fight these legal battles until there's no more legal battle to fight, Dad.
Which also means this, as you can tell, I'm in our offices in Washington. What we have to do, if the election goes as it looks like it is right now, and again, no one's giving up on anything, this office, we met this morning, Andy and I, with Van Bennett, it will be on later in the broadcast, our Director of Governmental Affairs, and as long as the Republicans hold the Senate, there is ways legally and through the constitutional process to block actions that would be either damaging in our policy view for the country, or take legal action. And we are, I think, uniquely poised as an organization. We, you know, had the unique experience of spending 3 weeks on the floor of the United States Senate for an impeachment, so we've gotten to know the senators on both sides of the aisle, actually, very well. And I think we've earned the credibility and trust of that body to do what is necessary to bring this to the next level. And I think we prepare to do that. And I think in preparing to do that, I'm going to fight till you can't fight anymore. That's how you have to do this. It's like landing 10 planes at the same time, but you fight till you can't fight anymore. But at some point, if it's not a viable path, that means that's it. And for the sake of the democracy, there's a peaceful transfer of power, and then you fight on the policy issues, and you learn on voter integrity issues. You are absolutely right, Jordan, that the mail-out ballots themselves were fraught with problems.
Yeah.
Right from the outset, no question.
So I think it's important for people to know during our matching challenge month, the ACLJ, we are prepared for this fight. If Joe Biden does become the president of the United States and Kamala Harris the vice president, we're ready to go. We think you probably need the ACLJ now more than ever. We'll explain more of that. But we are ready to go while we're fighting these legal challenges to hopefully keep President Trump in office with these legitimate votes being cast and the illegitimate illegal votes being put aside. We're ready to go with whatever the outcome is. We're in preparation for. That's what you do as lawyers. We're always ready to go. Support the work of the ACLJ. Double the impact your donations. A matching challenge month. And we are fighting hard at every level. ACLJ.org. Donate today.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Nowhere else you're going to get the updates on really what the legal challenges are, what legal challenges are coming, because we don't just have to snip it together in 5 minutes for you on Jay Sekulow Live. We're able to bring you a full hour of coverage, and of course you're talking to the people actually making the challenges and overseeing the challenges. I was on Newsmax. If you were watching on Facebook or Periscope, you saw that. I did that interview right before this interview, and it's that same message, Dad, that I think has to be very clear. We have recounts in Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, likely. In Georgia, it's automatic. It may be automatic in a couple of other states. Out of those recounts, oftentimes comes legal challenges. I see that we've already filed legal challenges in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, again in Pennsylvania, four more times in Pennsylvania, and then again we're expecting more out of Philadelphia. We see also I've got one out of Wayne County. It was filed this morning, and this is a motion again, and this was about this is about people altering votes. These are serious cases being filed by serious law firms, serious attorneys. I think, Dad, speak to that for a minute, too. It's not like Jay Sekulow can do every one of these cases at this level. There are attorneys across the country who are specialists in their state's election law and who the RNC has recruited and the Trump campaign has recruited, and they will be making those initial lawsuits, and the best ones, you hope, make it to where it's then kind of in our wheelhouse, which is before the Supreme Court.
Yes, and talking about the Supreme Court, we just received notice again, so I'm giving this to you live as it goes. The state of Ohio has filed a brief in support of the petitions that we're engaged in at the Supreme Court, but let me read you. It's very important. I want to read the exact language that they're using. I think it says, to me it speaks volume. It says, Ohio is not here because it objects as a policy matter to absentee voting. And then it goes on to say, to the contrary, there's no dispute that Ohio is generous when it comes to absentee voting. Then it says Ohio's interest in this case also has nothing to do with any abstract concern about counting ballots received after Election Day. In fact, Ohio itself counts ballots, absentee ballots received within 10 days of Election Day. And then it says Ohio is interested in this case because reversal is crucial to protecting the Constitution's division of authority over state election laws. The United States Constitution says that each state shall appoint electors, in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct. The Pennsylvania legislature directed that electors for the 2020 election would be chosen through votes cast in person and by absentee ballot, but it expressly mandated that the absentee ballots would count only if received by 8 p.m. on Election Day. Instead of respecting that decision, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court rewrote state law ordering election officials to count ballots, including ballots with no postmarks or illegible postmarks received within 3 days after the election. So there you have a state that itself, that says, listen, we allow votes to come in after Election Day. But here what we're concerned about, which is what the American Center for Law and Justice is concerned about, is the Constitution's mandate under the Constitution's election clauses, which gives, Andy, to the state legislature to make these determinations, not the state Supreme Court.
Right. I have said that time and time again. Look and read the Constitution. The Constitution clearly says that the decisions in the of the manner, means, and method of electing is left to the state. And I use the word the Constitution used, legislature, to make that, not to the courts of that state. So when the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania, which is democratically controlled, intervenes to change that, it does affect the other jurisdictions like Ohio, like Missouri, because it changes the outcome of the national election when courts interfere, as the manner of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court did, in decisions that are left by the Constitution to the legislature. And that, I think, is a critical aspect of what we're seeing happening around the country when other jurisdictions are weighing in now to the situation as it obtains in the Supreme Court of the United States. And ultimately, that's going to be the arbiter of these of all these cases, is the Supreme Court of the United States, as well it should be, Jay.
That's what I think. So, Jordan, yes. I mean, I'm looking at my phone to see if other additional notifications are coming. I'll keep everybody posted. But obviously, these are this is breaking, and you're not, like you said, this analysis isn't taking place anywhere else.
This is a question I'm getting a lot, Dad, for friends and family. When I do interviews, I know for our radio audience, and they want to kind of know this answer. And it's hard to predict on a Monday right after the election was on, you know, this past Tuesday. It hasn't been a week. But with these legal challenges that are outstanding right now and that will be potentially filed, is there the belief amongst the legal team, the true belief, that then if these go the way, if you say they go the way they need to go, that it would be enough to overturn where the networks have called the election for Joe Biden?
Look, first of all, the networks calling the election is not what decides who the next president-elect is. The next president-elect is determined by the Electoral College.
That's right, Jay, absolutely. You know, these networks have their agenda. They make their decisions. They make it on the basis of their call desk. That's up to them. That's fine. But, you know, I read the Constitution, Jay and Jordan, and the Constitution says that the decision as to who the president of the United States is made by the Electoral College when they meet and convene in December in Washington, D.C. in the House chamber. Not because NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, or whoever makes the determination, because they're going to call it for ratings purposes or for whatever other reason. I don't care about that. It doesn't make any difference to me. I don't watch that and it doesn't affect me. I want to know what the Electoral College is going to do.
And that determination, you asked the question, Jordan, could this overturn what the apparent president-elect situation is? And I mean, you have to line up a lot of dominoes, as we say, would have to fall in the right direction for that to happen. But as lawyers, we don't have the luxury of not planning that could happen.
Right.
So since it can happen, as the legal team, as lawyers, both ACLJ, President's legal team, you have to be prepared to move forward because you don't know what you're going to find. There's issues of computer glitches. There's issues of voting irregularities that are supposedly being brought. And we're not handling, to be clear, let me be clear on this, we're not handling the litigation in the various states. There's, like you said, they're very competent and very capable law firms in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Georgia. I mean, we now know that Doug Collins is leading that charge. Lynn Wood's involved as Julian Fortuna's firm. Taylor English is involved. These are powerhouse law firms that are engaged in this litigation here. My focus, our focus, ACLJ's focus, our focus as president's counsel is what happens across the street. What happens right here? If something, as has already happened in Pennsylvania, where one's already made its way up, I don't see this being Bush versus Gore in one case that solves everything, but I could see a consolidated group of cases that comes into it may become one case, and Bush versus Gore was a series of cases, too, and consolidated into one. So I think that we just have to play this, everybody, day by day. We cannot plan. We were talking about this. When do you think this will happen? You know what? I don't know. What I do know is this. The state of Ohio just filed. Missouri is filed with other states filing. There's going to be additional lawsuits filed in the next 24 to 48 hours. That's what I know. I'm not going to speculate on anything else.
And I think that's exactly what we're going to bring you, is the truth each day on the broadcast. We're going to bring you the truth. We're also going to be preparing for and obviously explain to you how we prepare for what if these legal challenges aren't successful. That we're not just sitting on our hands here at the ACLJ. Our team is preparing for the worst, if you will, the Biden administration coming in, and of course, two Senate seats with runoff elections that will determine the outcome of who controls the Senate, which will determine the outcome of tax hikes, funding to Planned Parenthood, a whole host of issues, the Green New Deal. Those will not be decided until January 6th. So again, there's a lot out there to talk about. We will be taking your calls. Second half hour coming up at Jay Sekulow Live, 1-800-684-3110. Support our work at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
I know people have been holding on the lines. We will get to your calls. We've got a second half hour coming up. My dad is still joining us. He's in Washington, D.C., overseeing the kind of when these cases make their way, and there's already one there at the U.S. Supreme Court on election integrity. We're waiting to see, too, the response if the Trump campaign hits the road again. There's reports about the president hitting the road again to keep encouragement up about this too and encourage his supporters about these legal fights. I also want to encourage people too. I think we've got a graphic for it too for our Facebook and Periscope audience. A lot of people moving over to Parler. We're broadcasting live there as well like we are on Facebook and Periscope. We're there and we have been there. You can follow me at Jordan Sekulow and then my dad's there at Jay Sekulow. We're getting more and more content up there on Parler. So if you're someone who's kind of migrating over to Parler, join us there as well at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow. But Dad, I want to go right to you in Washington, D.C. If people are just joining us in our second half hour, give them an update because I believe this is kind of the critical week of these legal challenges that will begin to be filed. Though we did have one earlier one because that came out of the Pennsylvania and then went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court more quickly. But the rest of the legal challenges are really going to be coming in and being filed this week.
That's right. So, look, I was on the phone this morning with lawyers from Wisconsin. I was on the phone with lawyers or principals that have responsibility for the cases in Pennsylvania. I spoke to Pam Bondi this morning. I spoke to others in other states. Of course, the Supreme Court, we're keeping that close, obviously, with our team. And I think that you have to look at it this way. We did get an important order from Justice Alito, and it's been referred to the whole court, so we'll see what they do. But they put a stay in place that required the ballots, the late-coming-in ballots in Pennsylvania, to be segregated, and if counted separately and not included in the general vote. I don't know what the final vote, Jordan, in Pennsylvania is at this point. I don't even know if they're done counting. But that's just one case. And now we've got the state of Ohio filed a brief on our behalf. Missouri saying they're filing and other states as well. So you're starting to see the activity that'll take place here across the street. And for our ACLJ members, this is where the Constitution really, really is in play. And Andy was just explaining this. Look, it's not just, like Ohio said, they allow late counting. They allow ballots to come in after the fact. But what they are not going to stand by and let happen, which is the same thing the ACLJ is not going to stand by and let happen, and that is if the Constitution, which it specifically does, says the state legislature will have the authority to set these rules and regulations, a court overriding the legislature when the Constitution says, no, it's the legislature, that should be 9-0 at the Supreme Court, Andy. I mean, it really should be 9-0.
It should be. If you read the Constitution, which would be a good idea for the Supreme Court justices once more to look at that particular article and section and clause of the Constitution, and I've harped on it a lot, I know, but it says that the method, manner, and means of the election shall be determined by the legislature, not by the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania making a determination of anything with respect to the time of ballots, when they're counted, when they come in, they're late, and so forth. But what the legislature said, and that's the originalist, textualist meaning, that's the meaning that should apply, and that's the meaning that we're going to be asserting should be given to any votes that are coming in any jurisdiction. And these other states have a dog in the fight. If Pennsylvania is not doing it properly or any other jurisdiction is not doing it, it dilutes and affects their electors in Ohio, in Missouri, in Georgia, in other jurisdictions. And that's why they're weighing in on this thing, Jay.
All right. So there you have it, Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, so again, I know you've got to get back onto the phones with about 40 seconds left, but we've got two more segments coming up. We'll take people's phone calls. We're also going to be talking, too, about some of these threats being made by the far left, the AOCs of the world, the same kind of list that people like Hitler and Stalin put together of Trump supporters. I'm not kidding about this. This was their immediate reaction to if Joe Biden is victorious, that we need to put together these blacklists, if you will. And we'll go through that. It is very extreme, the language they use. But we are ready at the ACLJ, regardless of how this election turns out, to fight for you aggressively. And we're in that fight right now. Support the work of the ACLJ. Doubly impact your donation. Matching challenge, ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let me take one of those calls people have been hanging on. Frank in Florida, online 6. Frank, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks a lot for taking my call, guys. Listen, my question is this. There are still so many races out there that haven't been called yet, like Alaska, for instance, North Carolina. Why are there delays in making the final calls, the final determinations on these states?
I don't know. Like Alaska would be an easy one. I mean, you know, in Pennsylvania, they're still only 98% in. Same in Georgia. And they're already talking about recounts, and yet they're not even done counting the votes. So, I mean, I want to go to Than Bennett, because Than, usually we do see, I mean, most of the time when you don't have the elections that are this close and this contested in so many states, that it does take states. They get to kind of 98%, and they've got to go through absentees and provisional ballots and things like that. But you can't really have a recount until you're done with that.
Yeah, absolutely, and it takes some time, Jordan. I would say this, though. The race in Alaska and the race in North Carolina for the United States Senate, those are much wider margins than states that have been called long before now. Dan Sullivan's up by 30 points in Alaska. Yes, there are a lot of votes to count, but I don't think anybody on either side thinks that race is up for grabs. Jordan, let me just say this. I mean, if those races go as they're going to go, that is 50 votes in the United States Senate for Republicans, and so they would just need one of those two runoffs in Georgia to have the majority, and I do think they will be able to do that. But I will tell you this, while everybody's focused on the presidential race, and for good reason, yep, people shouldn't forget about those two runoff races in Georgia.
Let's explain to people, too. Those runoffs are on January 6th. Kelly Loeffler facing a Democrat.
Jordan.
Yeah, on the 5th. Okay. January 5th. So there's time there for both sides to really launch new campaigns. Than and Andy, just update people about those, because it's unique to have two runoffs for the U.S. Senate in a state at the same time. So all this focus, Georgia becoming a major focus of the presidential, now also of the balance of power in the Senate. As Than said, likely Republicans just need one of those to maintain the Senate control, but it'd be great to get both. And I would think that if you win one, you win both. So it's kind of an all-in approach. There's going to be hundreds of millions of dollars spent there, even while the election work is being done. So, Than, Andy, just explain to people the significance of that.
Yeah, that's true, Jordan. There's going to be millions and millions of dollars spent in my state of Georgia in these runoffs. And the way this has happened, it's an odd situation. Senator Johnny Isaacson retired from the Senate. Kelly Loeffler was appointed in his place. The decision was made that there was going to be a wide-open primary election to select who was going to run. Doug Collins put his hat in the ring. Kelly Loeffler was in there. Many Democrats. There were about 30 people running for the Senate in that race. Warnock, who was a black pastor, got in the runoff with Kelly Loeffler, the incumbent senator. So that's race one. That race there is on its own. That the other race is between Senator David Perdue, who was a relative and a cousin of Sonny Perdue, who was the Secretary of Agriculture, has done a fantastic job in Georgia, against John Ossoff. Ossoff calls himself a media consultant and filmmaker. He's never had a job in his life. He's a Marxist. He's a communist. He's a socialist. He's a left-winger. How he got the votes that he got, I have no idea, in the state of Georgia, but Senator Perdue came up short of the 50% plus one vote that you need to have in Georgia, because there was a libertarian running who took away votes that I believe would have gone Republican, and then for that matter, the same thing in Kelly Loeffler and Warnock's race. But I've got to tell you, it's very, very important that people in Georgia vote, and vote in the right fashion for the conservative candidate. And neither side should be claiming victory in Georgia yet. It's much too premature. That is going to be a critical election, because it's going to determine the balance of power in the United States Senate, Jordan.
Yeah, we'll have a lot more on that, too.
An interesting thing. This is Logan, by the way. Hello, how are you? There's some interesting things with the Georgia election coming up. Specifically, if you were not registered to vote, you've turned 18 maybe since then. Registration is open. Voter registration is open. You can go and still register to vote just in the runoff election.
Interesting.
And you have actually till December 17th to do that, to register to vote. Absentee ballots, they said, are going out. Have they said specifically, and they're going to do early voting, the whole deal?
Oh, yeah.
Have they said specifically how they're going to deal with the mail-in situation this? I don't know if that's come up yet.
Yeah, I don't know if that has been addressed yet, because it's been so much focus on just them getting their vote tally in. But remember, this is January 5th, so we're in November. They have time to put this...
They have time to figure it out. But if you have someone in your household that maybe has turned 18,
yep,
in that time period...
A conservative kid in your household, make sure
that everyone every other liberal parent is doing this.
And in fact, we have allegations of that out of states like Arizona, where people are having their 17-year-olds request ballots to see if they could get them, and then turning them in. Because here's the importance of it right here, and then I want to get to some of this craziness that's coming out of the left. But listen to Chuck Schumer, okay? I don't think he's going to be the majority leader, but it's going to come down to Republican voters in Georgia, not just all Republicans, and Americans who support keeping a divided Congress, especially if Joe Biden is president, to flood this race with resources. Because this is how Chuck Schumer was screaming about it by 44.
Now we take Georgia, and then we change the world.
Yeah!
I'm sorry,
can you
repeat that, Mr. Schumer? Now we take Georgia, and then we change America.
He wants to change America. What would that mean? Well, if they have the House and the Senate and the White House, that means tax hikes, it means the Green New Deal, it means increased funding to Planned Parenthood, it means a new... It means the mask mandate. It means more state nationwide shutdowns. Of course, we've even gotten to the fact that Pfizer's now, a few days after the election, come out with a 90% effective, like the best vaccine ever created 90%. In history.
90%. Understand, your flu vaccine is like in the 60s.
Or 30%.
Yeah, 30%. Years. I mean, 90% potentially effective. They're all obviously covering this on the news. You know, the timing.
Zoom is going down in stock market because of this. Yeah. That's a.
Zoom and Disney because of
you don't think Pfizer could have announced that last week possibly because remember President Trump said by election day we're going to have one and yet of course they held that news 1 week because that would have been important if the because the president has made good on that promise that, that by basically election day warp speed happened is a if this vaccine is proves to be what it is more effective than any vaccine ever created before in history because it's targeted towards COVID specifically. And getting rid of COVID, that now we're looking towards a spring where we could be really back to normal in our country because of President Trump's team, who said, get this done as quickly as possible. But we are starting to see some nastiness, Logan, right away out of the left. It started just 3 days after the election. AOC, she tweeted out this, is anyone archiving these Trump sycophants for what they try to downplay or deny their complicity in the future? I foresee decent probability of many deleted tweets, writings, and photos in the future. Then Harry Sivan, who came out of the DNC press secretary world, he said, you better believe it, we've launched the Trump Accountability Project to make sure anyone who took a paycheck to help Trump undermine America, Trump legal team, is held responsible for what they did at TrumpAccountability.net. So he's saying, yeah, they are. Yeah. But it gets worse, Logan. Then they go, again, Michael Simon, another one. Every administration staffer, campaign staffer, bundler, lawyer who represented them, everyone. We want them registered, and they've put a registry up at the TrumpRegistry.com. It gets even grosser to me. Jennifer Rubin is supposed to be the conservative columnist at the Washington Post. She wrote, any Republican now promoting rejection of an election or calling not to follow the will of voters or making baseless allegation of fraud, this is before we filed any lawsuits, should never serve in office, never join a corporate board, find a faculty position in any university, or be accepted into, quote, as we love to talk about, what? Polite society, which, by the way, Jennifer, none of us want to be in anyways. We've never been accepted into polite society. We don't want any part of your crappy polite society.
70 million people voted the one way.
Yeah. You know? And she says, quote, we have a list. Evan McMullen, the turncoat Republican who tried to run the last election cycle, got no votes. He's like the worst of the worst. We should keep and publish a list of everyone who assists Trump's frivolous and dangerous attacks on the election. Is it frivolous when Justice Alito is getting involved? Is it frivolous when the Supreme Court of the United States is taking it seriously? I don't think so. And even Michelle Obama said, let's remember that tens of millions of people voted for the status quo, which meant supporting hate, lies, chaos, and division. You think you're going to be able to unite the country?
Yeah.
I think President Trump, I don't know this 100%, there's been reports, he may become the Winston Churchill of Joe Biden's presidency. And good luck, Joe Biden, with that. And then be running the entire time if the legal efforts aren't able to succeed to replace Joe Biden or Kamala Harris in 4 years. And we're going to look more like the UK system of government where we've got an opposition that responds to every single thing the Biden administration tries to do, if they even get to become the Biden administration. We're going to take more of your phone calls. But Logan, these kind of attacks, this is gross.
Yeah, we're going to cover it really in depth on the Logan Secular Reprogram later today. We're going to talk about all of this. People out in the streets and now CNN trying to cover for the lack of social distancing. All of the disturbing hypocrisy that's come straight out of this. They're chyrons. Maybe we'll still get to that in the next segment. You got to see
this. The regimes most famous for doing this are Stalin's, Hitler's, and Mao's. Hitler's was called the Black Book.
We'll be right back.
That we want?
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
We're going to take your calls, but I do want to use this Monday. It's the Monday after all this kind of wildness and accusations and Biden trying to claim victory, and yet votes are still being counted and lawsuits just being filed. I mean, they're just beginning to be filed. Give it about 30 days, folks. I'm serious. It's about 30 days. And at a point during that, if we determine, as the legal teams determine, working with the president, that there's no viable option here, then okay, there's no viable option here. But give us those time, as all those allegations of wrongdoing and fraud came in, to present the case.
Yeah, they needed time to count the votes. Come on,
they still haven't even counted. They're not even done counting the votes yet. How can we even?
I think that exposes mainly the biggest thing coming out of this entire election process, regardless of who it goes to. We got a taste of the voter day transparency. And what we really saw as America really alarming in the fact
like
that
a third world country.
That we are, you know, you can do anything on your phone. Technology has moved so far and advanced so quickly, but we are living in an archaic society based on the way votes are tabulated and they come in. If there should be a rallying cry for 2024, regardless, a bipartisan rallying cry, is to let's get this fixed. Let's get how Election Day works fixed. To where you don't have to worry about people hand counting in Georgia, printing out ballots in the wrong size and having to duplicate and rescan them in.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't live in that world anymore. But, you know, there was that big rallying cry, as you said, Jordan, we got to unify everything. No. But let's take it over to CNN. We got those chyrons. Let's compare and contrast here. Now, as you saw on Saturday, when the news hit that all media decided they could declare the victor of the presidency, CNN has showed people in the streets. Tens of thousands of people celebrating. And it says, you know, on the bottom of the screen, cities erupt in celebration after Biden beats Trump. You see some masks, you see some no masks, but what you definitely don't see is any social distancing.
You don't see that this is going to be a super spreader.
Right. No, that's the next thing. So compare that. Compare that. Thousands of people in the streets, smushed together, some wearing masks, some not, to then just a few short weeks ago when Amy Coney Barrett was sworn in, not the first time, this is swearing in ceremony, and it says on there, Trump Supreme Court nominee about to be sworn in at another potential super spreader event. And if you don't think the media, you know, is trying to pitch you on their own story, give me a break. This is where there's never been, look, all your friends, you may be like, these friends who say it's fake news. The proof should be in the pudding. We're seeing it today. We're seeing it today yesterday, The Hill ran a story about how live concerts should return because the COVID maybe can't spread. Now, obviously, when you clicked forward, there was some precautions in there, but the headline was, guess what? Concerts are back.
Giant concert, live arena concerts.
Live media, like, we can do it. We can do
exactly
it.
Exactly what the president predicted.
Exactly.
Then vaccine. And then they'd say COVID doesn't really pose a problem to, like, large events. And it's happening. And listen to Jake Tapper talk about all these people rallying in the streets.
Trying to cover for him
because he's been so nasty to the president, which we won't forget, Jake, since the president, I think, is going to keep on fighting for 4 years. So better get ready for that, CNN world, by 52.
It's good to see people wearing masks, although for some of them they're slipping off their face. People also need to socially distance themselves. The masks are significant, though. I mean, they are the thing that doctors say is the most important.
But I can see Sanjay Gupta having a lot of heartburn right now.
Yeah, there are a lot of public health officials watching this right now and feeling agita, feeling concern because of the crowds. But again, at least they are wearing masks.
Yeah, something you can't cover for. I'm sorry, Jake Tapper. You can't make it seem any better. Like, we're not out there being the ones who said, you're the ones who have put panic in society, saying wearing your mask, social distance, all this stuff, and you had tens of thousands of people in the streets.
When you want to say that has to be done.
Yeah, because he knows he'll get a call from his boss if he says, like, maybe we've seen on some of these other networks over the weekend, you get a call that says, you can't say that, you can't do that, that's not part of our narrative. At least Dana Bash comes in and says, you know, Sanjay Gupta's having a lot of heartburn right now, at least not being as far as saying, oh, it's fine. Just like this happened, look, during the there was a protest and riots in the streets. They gave it a pass. They took that COVID number quickly off.
Yeah, that was a super spreader.
Yeah, right now we're experiencing some of the highest numbers in the entire COVID crisis. And do you see a ticker on your screen?
Do you see ask that question.
No, this is just not how it runs right now.
No, until you hear the vaccine will be here and it's covering 90%. 90%. Well, by spring, 90%. We're going to be good. Zoom shares are falling. Amazon shares are falling.
All streaming services
are falling. Let's go to the phones. People have been holding on a long time.
We got to go to, I think, Teresa.
Teresa, thanks for holding on. Teresa, you're on the air.
Hi, I just want to say thank you very much. I'm going to try to make this real fast. I have been a provisional judge for almost all of the election, early as well on election day. You guys are right. I hope and pray that other people from Ohio, Pennsylvania, who have worked these polls, call you with the problems that we had in Maryland. With the mail-in voting, it was some of the worst because that stopped and blocked things. If you did not have your vote in on time, your vote is going to be stopped 10 to 15 days after the election. What happened was because of COVID-19, the media had people in a panic of fear. On top of that, they said the postal service was bad, the drop box was bad, we were bad. Yeah. We tried best to send people back home to get their mail-in ballot, for that ballot could be counted that day. If not, you have to wait 10 to 15 days. That's one thing. Another thing, when people have voted and didn't get their email confirmation, they say, oh, let them vote again. They would catch it. No way. Because it was so many people who voted. And another thing, a person was registered to vote, and she's not even a U.S. citizen. I'm like, how does she get to be registered? How many people out there?
Well, this is the thing, and you saw this, and Teresa, you are a
transparency,
official,
you know,
poll watcher. I know that in Maryland was not like a state that's going to determine the election. And I want to be honest about this, too. Like, from the legal perspective, of the president's legal team, what we're looking at is the states that are outcome determinative in this election. Could there be fraud and problems in a lot of other states, especially 100%. In blue states? 100%. But what we've got time to do is narrow down on the states that can be outcome determinative. That means the vote totals are so small for Joe Biden that a legal challenge could mean that the state then flips to President Trump and changes the outcome of the Electoral College.
Let's quickly take Gabriel in California on line 5. I think that's a good way to sum up the show. Gabriel, go ahead quickly. Sorry for the wait.
Yes, sir. Yes, good morning. I wanted to ask regarding the challenge that is coming before the Supreme Court right now because of this election fraud that has happened nationwide. And I agree that this election things that happen not only here in California but throughout the country now with this election, so great a thing that we've been able to do. But yet, if the challenge before the Supreme Court that is going about, is this going to be setting up a good or a bad precedence for the future elections?
You know, I think that we have to set a precedent that is better than just quickly. We can't have another election like this with this crazy laws that were being changed by judges and not legislatures and mail-in and can you drive up and then you can't drive up anymore. It was horrible for the poll workers. It was bad for democracy. It makes America look like a joke. It's not one state and a few counties like the 2000 election. This was happening widespread. We can't let this happen again.
Jordan, the American people deserve confidence that they picked their leaders, not some, you know, official in a polling place. And if they're going to be encouraged to stay in line overnight, wait in the rain, then the least they can expect from the people that represent them is that they'll stay overnight to count the ballots. And as Logan said, maybe need to follow the example of Florida and come up with faster and more efficient ways to tabulate those totals.
Folks, we're going to keep updating you this week on all of the legal challenges that are being filed. My dad's in Washington, D.C., overseeing everything at SCOTUS, at the Supreme Court. We're also going to prepare you for these two Senate seats. And if Joe Biden does become president, the ACLJ ready to fight. We'll explain that as well. Support our work at ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.